get your Bible out and turn to Nehemiah chapter number 5. Nehemiah chapter number 5. Last week we started a series that we're calling Relationships. Just relationships. I said this on Sunday. There's a couple things that pretty well make up the success of or the lack of success in your life. It's going to be your relationships. It's going to be your decisions. Your relationships or your decisions. I want everybody to turn in your Bible, and then if you look right this way, children, make sure you pay attention. Actually, church is not sleeping time. It's not playing time. It's paying attention time. It's not chatting time. It's not texting time. It's paying attention time. All right. We started this series last Wednesday night, and this subject of relationships. Last week, we talked about our relationship to the Word of God. That because the Bible is a relationship book. If you'll have the right relationship with the Word of God, then God will help you, train you, and give you the tools you need to have relationships throughout the human race. There's big relationships in life. Your relationship to the Word of God is it would be then akin to your relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, tonight, we're going to talk about another type of relationship. I'll tell you the title in just a moment. Nehemiah chapter 5. If you would stand with me, please, while we read the Bible. Nehemiah chapter 5. We're going to start with verse number 1. It's my intent to read all the way through verse number 7. The Bible says, "And there was a great cry of the people and of their wives against their brethren, the Jews. For there were that said, we, our sons and our daughters, are many. Therefore we take up corn for them, that we may eat and live. Some also there were that said, we have mortgaged our lands, vineyards, and houses, that we might buy corn because of the dearth. There were also that said, we have borrowed money for the king's tribute, and that upon our lands and vineyards. Yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as the children, their children, and lo, we bring into bondage our sons and our daughters to be servants, and some of our daughters are brought into bondage already. Neither is it in our power to redeem them, for other men have our lands and vineyards." I was very angry when I heard their cry and these words. And then Nehemiah says this. He said, "Then I consulted with myself, and I rebuked the nobles and the rulers, and said unto them, ye exact usury, every one of his brother, and I set a great assembly against them." I'm going to retell the story in a moment. The verse that we'll use to launch into the relationship that will be discussed tonight is verse 7. It says, "Then I consulted with myself." And let me pray for us. Father, bless us tonight. Those that are not used to a church service, I pray that they would still themselves and not play and not talk. I pray for those that know how to behave in church that they would. Now, God, tonight we'll talk about a relationship, and this is a big deal to you, Lord. You wrote a book to tell us about the relationships of life. Well, I pray that we would learn tonight and that we would have better relationships because of it, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There in Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 7, it says Nehemiah made this statement, "Then I consulted with myself." Let me give you just a little bit of background. The walls around the city of Jerusalem had been destroyed. Nehemiah leads a group of people to restore those walls. In the midst of this building program, greed had entered the ranks of the rebuilding process. So the people had become very, very greedy. Some were being hurt due to the greed of others. As you were listening, it was being read that, you know, we're mortgaging our houses to give to things, and it just seems like we give, and we can't seem to give enough to pacify, and now they're wanting to take our children and make them bond slaves. Well, Nehemiah, God's man, realizes that something is going on, and he begins to understand that there is a greed problem. And Nehemiah did not, at that moment, he did not have a man of God with which to consult. The Bible says, he says this in verse 7, "Then I consulted with myself." At that moment in Nehemiah's life, he did not have a man of, he didn't have an apostle Paul to turn to. He did not have a Moses to turn to. He said, "I consulted with myself." I'm sure he wished that there had been a Moses. I'm sure he wished there had been a Paul. I'm sure he wished that Jesus were alive and walking the face of the earth at that time so Nehemiah could go and say, we're rebuilding this wall and greed is entered in and it's destroying people and their relationships with one another. But he didn't have that. And Nehemiah was forced to consult with himself. And you know what happened? Nehemiah was a true spiritual friend to himself. The sermon tonight is this: the friendship relationship with yourself. The friendship relationship with yourself. It's great if you have a pastor and you can go and see him, but you know your pastor is not always available 24/7. You know, folks, there are times when you're at work that you can't get on the phone and call your pastor, but there are decisions that need to be made. You need to have a spiritual relationship with yourself. Some of you don't. Your relationship with you is not spiritual. You ought to have a spiritual friendship with yourself. Nehemiah was forced to consult with himself, and he proved to be a good counselor to himself. Nehemiah was a true spiritual friend to Nehemiah. Which I think then would qualify him to be a true spiritual friend to others. Look, if you won't tell you to do right, what's the chance that you're going to tell someone else to do right? A real friend, the Bible teaches, will give you godly counsel. The Bible says this in Proverbs 27:9, ointment and perfume doth rejoice the heart, so doth sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Here, the Bible says, if I'm a real friend, I will give the person I care about good, godly counsel. The Bible tells us that a real friend will improve your attitude, or a real friend will improve your spirit. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. And you understand this. If I'm really your friend, I will counsel you to do the right thing. But if you are your friend, you will counsel you to do the right thing. Some of you are not a good friend to yourself. You don't tell yourself to do the right thing. You're a poor personal counselor. A real friend improves another friend's spirit. You get around a real friend, they're going to want to lift your spirit. Well, if I want to be your friend, I'll try to lift your spirit. And according to the Bible, that's what friends do. That means this: if you're going to be a friend to you, you're going to learn how to lift your own spirit. There won't always be someone around to lift your spirit. There won't always be someone around to tell you a joke. There won't always be someone around that will tell you everything's going to be all right. So you know what you got to learn to do? You got to learn to look at yourself in the mirror and say, everything's going to be all right. God's going to see me through this. You become a true friend to yourself, and you improve your own spirit. You become a real friend to yourself, and you counsel yourself the right way. A friend doesn't have anything to do with gossip. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:28, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. In other words, gossip and going around whispering will bring division among friends. And friends, they don't gossip to friends. Which actually means then you, to be a friend to yourself, need to protect yourself against gossip. You want to be a friend to yourself? Don't listen to gossip. You want to be a friend to me? Don't gossip to me. But if you want to be a friend to yourself, don't listen to gossip. Because if you want to be a true blue friend to yourself, you've got to control the negative and the gossip. If you want to be a true friend to yourself, you've got to learn to lift your own spirit. If you want to be a friend to yourself, you've got to learn to counsel yourself right. I call the sermon the friendship relationship with yourself. Last week, we talked about your relationship to the Word of God. You do understand that if you have a relationship with the Word of God, you're going to have to decide to do what the Bible says. That's you telling you what to do. I named it the friendship relationship with yourself. I almost called it become your own dad. Dads tell you what to do. Or become your own mom. Become your own parent. A parent tells a child what to do, and they tell them right. We need to become our own dads. We need to become our own moms. Or, tonight, I chose to use the title, The Friendship Relationship with Yourself. Now stay with me. The first point is the point that makes all the rest of them pungent. It's the one that gives power and success to all the rest of the points. Number one, to make sure that you're a spiritual friend to yourself, you must surrender yourself to the Spirit of God. To make yourself a good spiritual friend to yourself, you've got to surrender to the Spirit of God. You've got to walk in the Spirit. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, "But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the Spirit of God which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God." Folks, when you got saved, the Spirit of God came to live within you. He knows the truth about you. He knows the truth about God. Now, if you want to be a spiritual friend to yourself, you're going to need virtually to become a friend to the Holy Spirit. You're going to need to surrender your life to the Holy Spirit. We should surrender ourselves to the Spirit of God. Did you know this? Did you know that the Spirit of God never disagrees with the Word of God? If you came to me and you said, "The Spirit of God led me to steal money from my mom's purse," I would say to you, you're a liar. Because the Spirit of God never leads you to do anything contrary to the Word of God. You say, "The Spirit of God led me not to come to church Sunday morning." That's not true. That is not true. The Spirit of God would not lead you to go contrary to the Word of God. And the Bible teaches you ought to be in church. Other than the fact that if you were ill or for some reason you were kept out of church. But the Spirit of God is not going to say to you, "Just stay home, drink tea, eat toast this Sunday morning." Wrong spirit. Wrong spirit. He never disagrees with the Word of God, and neither should you and I. He'll always agree with the Word of God 100%. If you want to be a true spiritual friend to yourself, you've got to walk in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will counsel you right. The Holy Spirit will improve your attitude. The Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you. You should go nowhere without communicating with Him. You and the Spirit, you together form a team to help you to become a spiritual friend to you. No decisions are made unless you're in submission to Him. To become a scriptural friend to yourself, you'll have to do it with the guidance and the help of the Holy Spirit. Folks, when a Christian ceases to be close to the Holy Spirit, they cease to be good for themselves. Let me say it again. When a Christian ceases to be close to the Holy Spirit, they cease to be good for themselves, and they cease to be good for others. If you're contrary to the Spirit of God, you are your own biggest enemy. If you are contrary to the Spirit of God, you also are not a good friend to other people. You need the Spirit of God to lead you into all truth so you will behave the way the Bible teaches you to behave. Last week I said you have to have a good relationship with the Word of God. Now, if you're going to have a good relationship with the Word of God, you're going to need the Spirit's guidance and the Spirit's strength as you're making decisions. So, the first point of this topic, becoming a good spiritual friend to yourself, is this. Make sure you're surrendered to the Spirit of God. This is a truth that everything else I'm going to say is built upon. Number two, to be a scriptural friend to yourself, you and the Spirit should choose what influences you. Remember, to be a spiritual friend to yourself, you and the Spirit of God, together, you choose what influences you. Stay surrendered to the Spirit of God. K- Keep your relationship with the Word of God. Folks, in a world full of advertising and commercials and billboards and blogs, it's easy to let those things influence your decision making. Don't let things from the outside influence your thinking. You let the Spirit of God and the Word of God influence your thinking. You understand how hard everything out there is working at getting influence over you? You and the Spirit of God together must choose what influences you. Don't let something you don't have control over determine what you buy. They're good at this. You can watch a commercial about a cheeseburger and within an hour be at the store getting that cheeseburger. You say, is anything wrong with that? No. Matter of fact, a good, juicy cheeseburger sounds good right now. Oh, let me tell you, though, we let our passions, we let our emotions, we let Hollywood, we let the world tell us what to do. They program us. I say to you, if you want to be a good spiritual friend to yourself, you submit to the Spirit, you and the Spirit decide what will influence you. Don't let something you don't know anything about determine how you act, where you'll go, or what you'll do. You become your own friend when you, on purpose, with the help of God's Spirit, make the decisions in your life. That's how you become a good spiritual friend to yourself. Number three, to become a true spiritual friend to yourself, you need to choose who influences you. First of all, I said what. You choose what influences you. Now you need, on purpose, with the Word of God's help, with the Spirit of God's help, you're going to choose who influences you. Have you heard that verse in Owens chapter 2, verse 7? If you lay down with dogs, you wake up with fleas. Just listen. You better be careful. If you want to be a true spiritual friend to yourself, you and the Spirit of God must, on purpose, determine who will influence you. You choose people to influence you who will help you to stay close to the Spirit of God. You better choose people to influence you who will want you to obey the Word of God. You better choose people who will influence you that will help you to remain a true spiritual friend to yourself. You better choose people as friends who you would want to be like, because you're going to become like them. You become like the people you run with and the things that you read. So some of you are in danger. You better watch who you're with. You see, if you want to be a true spiritual friend of yourself, you and the Spirit of God together choose what influences you. You and the Spirit of God together choose who influences you. Do you? And I preached a sermon on Sunday morning about a so-called friend. I don't need to reiterate it, but I will remind you of this. Many people have been destroyed by their decisions in regard to their associations. Who influences them? Peter warmed himself by the devil's fire. We all know that was a bad decision. Jehoshaphat, a good king, associated with Ahab, a bad king, and made a mess for himself. Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom and Gomorrah. You know something? Lot pitched his tent that way, which meant Lot was looking that way. Had he never been looking that way, he never would have headed that direction. Abraham went to Egypt, or down into the world, and fathered an illegitimate child, and it all had to do with his associations. Folks, you need to be a good spiritual friend to yourself. To do that, you've got to stay submitted to the Word of God and to the Spirit of God, and then the three of you, if you will, or you and the Word of God, you then choose on purpose who will influence you. You choose what will influence you. You say, well, Brother Owens, it just seems like the Christian life is easier for others than for me. I just have to tell you, folks, it all boils down to one thing. You're going to do what you want to do.
I mean, you can't make me do anything. I can't make you do anything. And God doesn't make you do anything. And God doesn't come into my life and say, well, Jeff Owens, I'm going to make the Christian life easy for you. And we're going to make it hard for Martha Clark. It doesn't work that way. Martha, it's as easy for me to be a good Christian as it is for you. Or is it is as hard for me to be a good Christian as it is for you. And the difference is, what are you going to do about it? The difference is, what am I going to do about it? And if I unify and have the right relationship with the Spirit of God and the Word of God, then the three of us get together and we are going to tell Jeff Owens what to do. You have got to get control of yourself. And this isn't a lesson on humanism. I'm telling you, it is the power of the Word of God. It is the power of the Spirit of God. And anything that I can do, you can do. And anything you can do right, I can do right. Because we have the same Bible. We have the same Holy Spirit. It's just a matter of, will you submit to it? You have to unify with the Spirit of God. And then you tell you who's going to influence you. And you tell you who is going to influence you. Let me move on. Number four, to be a scriptural friend to yourself, you choose what you do. You choose what you do. Now, I don't mean you do what you want. I mean you're in submission to the Spirit of God. You're in submission to the Word of God. You unify. Now you tell you what to do. You boss you. In the Spirit. You demand things of you in the Spirit. Your spiritual self becomes the dictator over your carnal self. Everybody has a fleshly side. Everybody has a spiritual side. You let your spiritual side tell your fleshly side what to do. That's you becoming a good friend to you. You say, preacher, when I'm with you, I don't have the tendency to want to cuss. Did you know something? God's with you all the time. The same Spirit that you respect when you're in my presence lives within you. You have that same Spirit. You need to learn to determine your own priorities. And I'm not saying you do what you want. I'm saying while you're in submission to the Word of God, while you're in submission to the Spirit of God, now you determine your priorities that way. I think you ought to make a list of your obligations and then you let the Spirit of God and the Word of God guide you in the fulfillment of those obligations. Folks, it's like this. Some of you just need to spiritually take charge of your life. You're floundering. Oh, I can't do this and I can't do that. No, it's just coming hard. Grab yourself and say, you're going to do what's right. Everybody has that ability if they want to. Best Christian in this house is someone that said, I will obey the Bible. And then they do. Say, but it's easier for them. I don't know that that's true. Same Bible for everybody. Everybody here have passions? Sure they do. Everybody here like food? Sure they do. You like the opposite sex? I hope you do. You like money? Sure you do. But what do? You get you under control by use of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. God has a plan for your life. It might be wise for you to figure it out and follow it. Did you know that most heartaches are caused by breaking God's order of things? You and I need to find out what God's order is, follow God's order, then our life, it gets a little easier that way. Paul commended the church at Colossae for doing that very thing. They found out God's order. The Bible says in Colossians 2:5, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your order and steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Now, Paul is telling this church, you are doing things in a proper order. You have a rhythm. It makes sense what you're doing scripturally. Folks, your life ought to have a scriptural rhythm to it. What you do ought to be done on purpose. It ought to be guided by the Spirit of God. It ought to be guided by the Word of God. And you ought to be doing what you do all day long on purpose. You don't float through life and succeed. Floaters end up being carnal. Floaters are not led by the Spirit of God. On purpose are we to live our lives. Paul tells Titus about a church in Crete. He tells him, you need to get things put back in order. He says this, Titus 1:5, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldst set in order the things that are wanting. You know what Paul was saying? Paul said, Titus, you have got to let the word of God give you order in that church, get it back in order so it will succeed. Now, folks, your life is to have an order. The church is to have an order. When you get things out of order, you're going to have a mess on your hands. God has much order that he gives us in life. Let me show you what I mean. Hey, and listen, if you want to be a true spiritual friend to yourself, you need to let the word of God determine the order of your life. For instance, here's one of God's orders. Get saved, follow it with baptism, follow it with church membership, then you qualify to take the Lord's Supper. That's God's order. Do it any other way, you messed up. Take salvation and put it anywhere else in the list, and you got a mess. It's God's order. Okay, God's order. Listen to this, young people. Love. Marriage. Then sex or the physical relationship. Then children. That's God's order. Do it any other way, you're wrong. Your life is out of order. You're not a good friend to yourself. You're not following the scripture in regard to organizing your life. It's love, then marriage, then the physical relationship, then the children. God's order. Work, get money, then buy things. If the president would like help with the national economy, I could help him. You work. You get money for working, then you buy things. America is so far in debt because they buy things and they're hoping to work their way out of the mess. That's why we're in a mess. We're out of order. America has not been a good friend to America. America has let their carnal side lead them. If America would rebuild their relationship with the Word of God, and that they would get the order of God back in their life, there would be a rhythm, and then we would be a decent friend to ourselves. God's order is you tithe, you pay your debts, you meet your needs, then you have luxuries. You tithe, you pay your debts, then your needs, then your luxuries. But everybody else wants their luxuries and their needs, make a bunch of debt, and if they've got any money left, maybe they'll tithe. That's why they have a mess. Folks, to be a scriptural friend to yourself, you and the Holy Spirit must go to the Scripture and let the Scripture help you to get your life in order. Now, stay with me. Remember, the whole lesson here is you being a decent friend to you. I said, to be a scriptural friend to yourself, you and the Spirit of God must choose what influences you. Then I said, to be a true scriptural friend to yourself, you and the Spirit of God determine who influences you. I then said, to be a scriptural friend to yourself, you and the Spirit of God then choose what you do, and that is getting your life in order so that that you have rhythm and you're obeying the Scripture. Number next, to be a scriptural friend to yourself, you and the Spirit of God need to choose when you do what you do. When you do what you do. Remember, stay in submission to the Spirit of God. Stay in submission to the Word of God. Now, you need not only to know what needs to be done, you need to know when it needs to be done. Not only should we choose what we do according to these priorities from the Word of God, but we should choose when each one of them is done. For instance, you say, preacher, it's a priority for me to read the Word of God. So I'm going to stay home on Sunday morning and not come to church, but I'll be reading the Bible. I'm very sorry. You don't understand. The duties don't conflict. You should have got up at 6 o'clock in the morning and read your Bible so you could be at church like God commands. and we mess up our lives. There are people in here. You're not out doing something bad when you miss church. You're just not where you're supposed to be, doing what you're supposed to be doing. You say, well, I wasn't out getting drunk. I know, but you weren't in church, and that's where God wanted you. So it's not just knowing what to do. It's doing what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it. See, if you're going to do the important things in life, you've got a plan on doing them on purpose. I pastor this church. My boss is God. He does not come to my office and lay a piece of paper down and say, here's your work orders for the week. He doesn't do that. So physically, I have no boss. And if you're new in our church, you say, what about the deacons? Oh, you're in the wrong place. Deacons are servants, and I love them, and they love me, and we get along. I have a great group of men that work with me and deacons, but they don't boss me. There's not a convention that bosses me. As a pastor of the local New Testament church, it is the awesome responsibility to lead the church under God's guidance. But God does not come to my office every week and give me my work orders. You say, well, who bosses you? I have to keep me close to the Word of God. I have to keep me close to the Spirit of God. Then while under the domination of those two things, I set up my schedule. Nobody is making me build this church. We could go get us a tent and set it up across the street, and there could be six of us, and we could stay there. Well, who's doing this? Well, I happen to believe the Word of God and the Spirit of God wants me to reach everybody I can, so I must submit to that, so I set my schedule up to get done what the Spirit of God and the Word of God wants done. You say, that you, I'm a preacher, I'm glad you're that way. You're supposed to be that way. Your job may not be to pastor this church, but it is your job to live your life in the same submission to the same God and the same Spirit and the same Word of God that I am. And if you're not, you're not fulfilling the purpose that God created you for. You want to be a good friend to yourself? You better stop and believe that the Bible really is God's Word and His Spirit really is supposed to control you, and you really will let Him tell you what to do. And I'll promise you, I don't care what your endeavor, if you will walk with Him and do what you do because He influences it, you will succeed and you will be marvelously blessed in life. To be a spiritual friend to yourself, you got to choose not only what needs to be done, but when you do it. I have created a boss for me. You say, who is that? It's Mrs. Owens. No, Mrs. Owens isn't my boss. You know, I don't worry about joking about that because if any of you know me, she didn't tell me what to do and you already know that. I can tease about it. Some of you henpecked Harrys, you couldn't tease about it because your wife will put you down, boy. But you know who you are. But honestly, I have created a boss. You say, what's your boss? My boss is my schedule. When I'm in my right spiritual mind, I put down what I'm supposed to do, led by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God. I write it down. I figure out when it's supposed to be done when I'm in my right spiritual mind. And then when I wake up of a morning and I say, I just don't feel like it. It doesn't matter. My boss, my schedule said, get up and do what you're supposed to do. Young people, you'll either learn to do that or you'll be a welfare case the rest of your life. You'll either get yourself up and make yourself do what you're supposed to do or you'll be dependent on everybody else for the rest of your life. My schedule becomes my boss and I obey it. It tells me what to do. It tells me when to do it. So you all know, I think you all know my routine. When I get up in the morning, I don't check my email. I don't check my text. I don't watch the news. I don't read a newspaper. First thing I do is I get my Bible and I read my Bible. I go from reading my Bible to praying, and I pray for every one of you by name. I don't let myself have a cup of coffee until I've done those things. I don't reward myself with anything, except for the restroom, but I don't reward myself with anything until I've gotten those things done. You say, why do you do that? Because when I was in my right spiritual mind, I realized those were important things, and I put them in place, and I let them boss me around. Who makes you get up in the morning? Well, it's either you do or nobody does. Who makes you read your Bible? It's either you do or nobody does. Who makes you pray? It's either you do or nobody does. And you better start becoming a better friend to yourself, and you better make yourself do what you're supposed to do. To be a scriptural friend to yourself, you must require yourself to do certain things at certain times. I must make me do what needs to be done when it needs to be done. Next. To be a scriptural friend of yourself, you and the Spirit of God need to choose what you read. You together choose what you read. Stay in submission to the Spirit of God. Stay in submission to the Word of God. I'll tell you something that some of you need to decide. You need to decide you'll read nothing if you won't read your Bible. There's some of you, you read your romance novels, but you won't read your Bible. You'll read blogs, you'll read emails, but you will, and I'm not talking about when. I throw a fit about do it before you read everything else. Now I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about people that won't read their Bible at all, but they read all sorts of other things. Young people, if you read Harry Potter books before you'll read your Bible, you got a problem. Maybe you ought to stop yourself from reading anything until you've read the most important thing you could lay your eyes on. To be a scriptural friend of yourself, you and the Spirit of God, in a joint effort, need to go together and say, we, on purpose, will decide what we read. Now, that's really a part of point number two, in making the right decision on who will influence you. See, reading is being influenced by that paper and whoever wrote that. You understand, if you're reading something by Karl Marx, you're being influenced by Karl Marx. He's influencing you. Hey, what you listen to is what's influencing you. When you listen to some hardcore rock and roller, they're influencing your philosophy of life. Listen, you think what you read. You are what you think. You do what you are. Let me say it again. You think what you read. You are what you think. You do what you are. You better choose your authors very carefully. Folks, some of you are crazy. Spiritually, you look for strawberries in septic tanks. You think because it had the word Jesus on the front of the book that it was a good book? I don't hardly think so. You fill yourself with so many false doctrines and philosophies. You better pick authors that are true to the Word of God. Don't read materials written by Christ rejectors. Folks, there's something I do. I kind of wish that I could read for entertainment. I've never been able to find time for that. I read on purpose, not at random. One reason is you need a pastor that guards his thinking. You don't need a pastor that get off in some false doctrine or some pastor that gets all whacked out on all the things of the world. I've got to keep my mind on the pure things of the Word of God. Why? Well, I need to be a good friend to me. I'd like to keep me right. But if I could, I'd like to help you keep you right. But listen, to be a true scriptural friend to yourself, you and the Spirit of God need to choose what you read. But before you read that Harlequin romance, do you submit to the Word of God and submit to the Spirit of God and say, God, would this be in your will? Well, you say, I couldn't do that. I know. So you shouldn't be reading it. You're not letting the Spirit of God decide what you read. You're not a good friend of yourself. You're your own worst enemy. Let me go on. I got to hurry. Steve had that song service so long this evening. To be a scriptural friend of yourself, you need to choose what you see. To be a true scriptural friend to yourself, you, with the help of the Holy Spirit, with the guidance of the Word of God, you get together and you decide what you will look at. Lamentations 3:51, it says, mine eye affecteth mine heart. Get it? Mine eye affecteth mine heart. What you look at is going to get into your emotional mechanism. You need to be like Job. Job said in Job 31:1, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I look upon a maid? It's talking about lusting after the opposite sex. And if I've not made it clear here, I'll make it clear. Boys and girls ought to keep their hands off each other till they're married. And I'll just keep saying that. If you're ever in my church service and you're not married, keep your hands off each other. We don't do that around here. Now, you people that are married, I wish you'd put your hands on each other every once in a while. You've got a license to do it. Now, but Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes. You know what Job did? Job, one day, had a conversation with Job. Matter of fact, Job had a conversation with Job's eyes. Job looked at himself in the mirror. He looked at himself and he said, "Look me right in the eyes. You," he said to his eyes, "are not going to lust after women. You're going to keep your eyes where they belong." So, what was happening? Job became a spiritual friend to Job by telling Job, under the influence of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, what was right to look at and what was wrong to look at. Many people have hurt their successes by the misuse of their eyes. For instance, in Genesis chapter 3, verse number 6, the Bible says, Eve saw that the tree... Doesn't matter what else it says, does it? Eve saw. You understand, the fall of the whole human race came when Eve did not tell Eve what to look at. You had better tell you what to look at. And I'm not talking about a humanistic thing. I'm talking about you let the Word of God, you let the Spirit of God tell you the difference between right and wrong, and then you combine forces with your will and that truth, and you become a true spiritual friend to yourself. In Genesis chapter 19, verse number 26, the Bible says, Lot's wife looked back, and she became the biggest salt lick in history. Why? Because Lot's wife did not tell Lot's wife's eyes where to look. Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse number 12, it says that David saw a woman. Her name was Bathsheba. You know the rest of the story. If you don't, Paul Harvey does. What happened? David was a poor friend to David. And if David would have been a spiritual friend to David, David wouldn't have looked that way. And let's say he did look that way. He didn't have to stare. He didn't have to look twice. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 20, it says, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. We just can't get enough of that which is wrong and carnal. Joshua chapter 7, verse number 21, the story of Achan. You know what the Bible says? It said, Achan saw among the spoils a garment. He saw it. If he would have told his eyes what to do. Now, folks, let me tell you something. Too many of you float. Basically, what I'm telling you tonight is Holy Spirit control combined with self-control will make you or break you in the Christian life. Get control of yourself. You say, how? Through the Word of God, through the Spirit of God, and through your own desire. Submit to the Spirit of God. To be a spiritual friend to yourself, you have to decide what your eyes will be allowed to do. Let's see, how many more of these do I have, and how much more can you take? All right. Number next. To be a scriptural friend to yourself, you need to choose your emotions. This will be a tough one for some of you. You need to choose your emotions. Let the Holy Spirit help you. You let the Word of God help you. Let His Spirit control your spirit. Listen, some of you, what you need to do is it's time for some of you to face yourself, face your own weaknesses. Realize they're there. Time to start combating them. Stop justifying them. Stop blaming your mama. Stop blaming your daddy. Stop blaming what happened 20 years ago. Look your own emotions, and when you're out of control, it's time to get some of it under control. Look at it and say, that's not good. That's me. I've got to do something about that. That's hindering me. It's going to stop me. I'm going to figure this out. With God's help, I will figure this out. Know what affects your emotions. Then learn to control them properly. There's some of you, let me tell you, I'll give you an example. Husbands and wives, you need to be very careful on payday. Payday can even be either be a day of bliss or a day of war. And you say, why? Because it's all about money. And money can make you blow your stack. Learn yourself. Learn your emotions. For instance, you know, let's take anger for example. The Bible says we're to be angry and sin not. The Bible never says we're not to be angry. It does say we are to be slow to anger. We're not to lose our temper. Don't lose control. Listen, God intended for our temper to be used for right things, but not for wrong things. So, folks, you need, and I'm going to explain something to you. Those of you that are emotional basket cases and you're always losing it, I mean, for whatever reason, all the variety of reasons, I'm going to give you some good advice. You better learn to walk in the Spirit. Because the Spirit of God will control your spirit. Your problem is your spirit is out in front and the Spirit of God's tagging along behind. The Spirit of God will help you to control yourself. You say, I just can't control myself. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. So, we get control. How? Through the Word of God, through the Spirit of God. What happens then? I need to become a stable, emotional, spiritual friend to me. Because really, nobody else can do that for you. It's you. It's do or die. You need to be a spiritual friend to yourself. You need to choose what you'll think. You got to choose your thoughts. You stay in submission to the Word of God and to the Spirit of God, and you got to decide what you think about. I think there are a lot of people in here. You need to learn to schedule a little think time so you can make good decisions. Most of us let things around us determine what we think about. Today, I'm not trying to be funny or unkind, but when I was growing up, we'd never heard of a thing called attention deficit. We were required to pay attention. Maybe part of it is it's all the television and everything else that goes on today, but some of you just don't concentrate. You will not make yourself concentrate. And if you do not, you will not succeed. Leaders, you can't afford to let outside sources control your mind. Capture your mind for Christ. Stop wasting your mind. And I want you all to know something. Did you know that nobody naturally has a creative mind? People just train their minds. We all start out drooling and going to the bathroom in our clothes. Everybody starts basically, unless there's something terribly, terribly wrong, we all start out with the same opportunity. Some develop their body and develop their mind, and some do not. See, young people, when you don't care in school, you're underdeveloping yourself. There's no place that discipline and character are more important than in your thought life. What goes on behind your eyeballs. Someone said, you are what you eat. And that's why I don't eat rump roast. You are what you eat. But folks, really, you are what you think. You are what you think. Whatever you're giving a bunch of think time, that is what you are and what you are becoming. Okay, I'm just going to mention a couple and we're done. I think if you want to be a true scriptural friend to yourself, you and the Spirit of God need to decide how you sleep. Short of having a true medical condition. I really don't think you ought to let your body do everything it wants. I think there are people that need to make themselves get up in the morning. So I don't feel like it. How many of you get up in the morning and feel like it every day? Would you raise your hand? No one? Huh. So I guess all of us wake up in the morning and don't want to get up in the morning. Some people make themselves do what needs to be done. And Christian, you ought to, in unity with the Word of God and the Spirit of God, you decide what your body's going to do. Your body has limitations, but God would never want your body to go beyond those limitations. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You've got to learn to get it under control. To be a true scriptural friend of yourself, I think you need to choose when you play. I think there are adults that play too much. I think there are young people that play too much. I think young people ought to be given chores again and be given responsibility. Then I think there are sometimes adults that never play that need to. They're so wound up, they need to let off a little pressure. And sometimes adults need to play because their kids need to play. But I think there's a play time, and I think it being appropriate, but I think it ought to be chosen. It ought to be done on purpose. I wish I had time for everything I want to say, but I'll tell you this, and I'm finished. to be a spiritual friend, a true spiritual friend to yourself, you really need to choose your successes. You stay in submission to the Word of God and to the Spirit of God. Let me teach you the most simple formula in the world to success. If you have a good day, stop at the end of your day, analyze it, examine it, write it down, do it again tomorrow. Figure out what works and do it again. You young men, you men that preach, you ever preach a good sermon? You say, that didn't turn out really well. You might want to figure out what you did. Might want to try it again. I know a lot of guys that preach a good sermon and never figure out what they did. Why change what's succeeding? If you have Sunday school teacher, ministry leader, if you have a great activity, stop and figure out what made it a great activity and do it again. My mentor, Jack Hiles, said concerning a church, if you've got a winning lineup, don't tamper with the lineup. He taught me, he said, if you get the rhythm of what to do with the church, keep your rhythm. Keep your rhythm. Somebody comes along and says, well, I really think we ought to change things up. Listen, if everything's going well, I really think y'all just stay out of the road. At the moment, it seems like the Twin Rivers Baptist Church has a rhythm. What are we going to do? Are we going to change anything? Nope, same doctrine, same standards. Are we going to change anything? Yeah, we're just going to do more of it. You don't need new. You need more of the old. And folks, what I've told you tonight may be one of the greatest keys to the Christian life. You becoming a true spiritual friend to you. Really, it's bottom line in all of Christianity. You say, why? Because it really boils down to you and God. We all have to walk on our own 2 feet. You need to get yourself close to God, and you need, between you and God, to get you to do the right thing. And I need, between me and God, to get me to do the right thing. So that's an important relationship. Your relationship to the Word of God, your relationship to yourself. The key, you. Get you on board, and God will help you to make it. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you're not born again, if you need to be saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and we'll show you how to be saved. Be a sad thing to go to church but not know Jesus as your Savior. If you need to be saved, when we have this altar call tonight, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. The sermon tonight predominantly has been to the Christian, although to every person under the sound of my voice, if you will take what you've been taught, it will help you to succeed in your Christian life. Who here tonight, you're a Christian, you're saved, you would say, Pastor, there's no doubt in my mind, God has reached down into my heart, and He's challenged me about this thing, becoming a good influence on myself, becoming a spiritual friend to me. He's spoken to me tonight. And you'll raise your hand and say, he's spoken to me, made it very clear. And me too. I've been under conviction as this has been prepared. You may put your hands down. We're going to have an altar call. If you need the altar, you'll be welcome to come. The pianist will begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? Do you need to better influence you? Do you need to tell you what you'll read? Do you need to tell you what you'll look at? Do you need to tell you what you'll think? Do you and the Spirit of God need to combine forces and decide who will influence you and what will influence you and where you will go and when you will go there? Do you and the Spirit of God need to get your life in order? That's where you look at what the Scripture says, and then you live your life according to the order that God deems the successful order: love, marriage, the physical relationship, and children. It's work, then get money, then buy. It's tithe, then pay my debts, then meet my needs, then get the luxuries. It's salvation, baptism, church membership, Lord's Supper. That's God's order. You need to organize your private world. You need to organize your public world. You need to organize your thinking. The friendship relationship with yourself.